I think so. Yeah, can you hear me? Okay, yeah, my mic is on. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, welcome to IBC. Today, I mean, I'll be preaching here just as I used to do some months ago. And it's a different feeling, you know? It's a different feeling to see your faces when you hear me saying something you agree or don't agree. It gives joy to the preacher to see you in the front when you are here. Yeah, thank you for the idea of sharing the promises, Ruth, because I think sometimes we are such busy with our current life that we think or we forget that God has promises for us or that there will be change for us in a positive sense. I was really encouraged to hear some verses that I have not read for a long time. And for you or for all of us, it's important to remember the promises of God. Because God is not a man to lie, or God is not a man not to be able to fulfill what he has promised us. But today's sermon will not be about promises. I'm going to preach on the topic, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Please turn your Bibles to the good news according to Matthew in the chapter 9. The good news of Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. The passage is entitled, The Workers Are Few. I am reading from the New International Version. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Let's pray. And Father, it is your word. Your word is plentiful, your word is mighty, and your word is able to teach or correct and encourage. And this morning, not by might or power, but by your spirit alone. Not by my human wisdom, but by your strength, I would like to preach this morning. And Father, let the voice of my flesh be silenced. And let the voice of the Spirit speak to your people. And let their hearts be prepared to hear your word in your name. Amen. So the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In the first place, the passage seems to be clear enough to comment on it. It says clearly that there is something to be done, but there are less people to do that. So the passage I read are Jesus' words to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. It was his words to the 12 who were with him during his ministry on earth. But these words are also addressed to us as his disciples. These are words are also for the disciples of Jesus in IBC. Jesus says this to disciples after the sermon on the Mount, which should be seen as the foundation of his ministry or the foundation of Christian teaching. So after Jesus has taught his people the basics of the kingdom of God from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 9, and Jesus taught them and he performed miracles, and now he sends them. He sends them not only after having taught them, but also having given them the opportunity to see that the kingdom of God is not just about words, but also about doing or practicing the word of God. For example, Jesus has performed many miracles before that. He has healed the servant of the centurion. He has restored a demon-possessed man. He healed a paralyzed man. He forgave him his sins. He raised a girl from the dead. He healed a sick woman. He healed a blind. And all these miracles were performed by Jesus. And now he continues his ministry in going in villages and towns and healing people. And when he saw the cross, the Bible says that he was filled with compassion. Now, the first thing we see about this passage is Jesus' motivation in doing what he was doing and in sending his disciples to go and preach the good news. The Bible says his motivation was compassion. It's written that having compassion on the crowds, because they were helpless and they were harassed by the sicknesses, they were harassed by their situations, they were helpless with sheep without shepherd, the Bible says. But notice, compassion is a theme which comes out throughout all the Bible. We have compassion in the Old Testament, we have compassion in the New Testament. But I like really making a difference between compassion and pity. Because helping someone does not tell us what the motivation of doing it is. So people help out just they want to be praised, they want to be worshipped by others. They want people to say that they are good people. Some people help out of pity. I mean, if I help someone out of pity, I will just throw him a piece of money without putting myself in his situation. But compassion is putting yourself in the situation of the person that is suffering. Compassion says, I suffer with that person. Compassion makes you feel what the person is feeling. And Jesus helped the people out of compassion. And this shall be our motivation when we are preaching the good news. Our motivation should not be just insulting the people, just going out and telling them you are living a bad life. That might be true. But our first compassion is that we see how needy they are, even though they themselves do not see it sometimes. And Jesus saw how the sick people were suffering. He saw how thirsty the people were to listen to the word of God. So that's why that's the beginning. That's his motivation in doing what he was doing. And that is also the feeling we should have in us if we preach the gospel, the good news. And as workers on the field of God, our motivation should be nothing else than compassion. To share the pains and the sufferings of other people, crying with them, praying with them, feeling what they are feeling. So we should preach the good news, not just because we want people to say that we are Christians, but out of compassion and see how people are in need. And the passage we read says that there is work to be done, but we do not have workers. And Jesus asked his disciples to pray the Lord of harvest to send more workers to his field of harvest. But who are these workers? Sometimes when we hear that, we imagine it's like God sending angels from the heavens to come and do the work, or sending angels to come and preach the good news. But we, his disciples, are the workers. We are the one that have to work in God's field. We are the potential workers if we are not working yet in his field of harvest. So we see that the disciples that Jesus was telling them to pray, they might have been imagining that while we should pray, we are not the ones who do the work. But later on the next chapter, we see that it came out that they were the people that were praying for themselves. They were praying for workers, but it came out that they were the workers. And after Jesus has told them, we read in the first verses of chapter 10, that Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles that he sent. I'm going to skip the names. Verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So the disciples, when Jesus was telling them to pray for more workers, they were imagining that maybe it is another person. As I'm preaching this message this morning about workers, maybe you are thinking, not me, other people. In the same way, Jesus sends us as his disciples to go and preach the good news. As an example, last week, or during the Q&A session last week, we raised out as prayer request that our church is praying for more workers in the leadership. We are praying the Lord of Harvest to send more people to serve him in children ministry, the leadership, worship team, people that will go out and preach the good news. But we are not praying for God to send angels. We are praying that God will raise people among us who are already his disciples to serve him. Maybe I'm going to share a part of my testimony to give it as an example, and maybe to tell you why I like or I love to serve God in this church. One of my favorite passages in the Bible when it comes to serving God is Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. When it comes to service in the house of God, I really like that passage. I'm going to read now from verses 26 in chapter 20 of Matthew. The Bible says this happens after the mother came, or the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus and asked her to grant his sons two places of favor. And Jesus' answer was, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." I will focus on the last part of this sermon. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Just to know that Jesus himself came to serve should be an encouragement for us to know that we do not come to church to be served, but to serve, but to work in God's, the field of God. Now to my testimony. I came to faith in a very small church. I will call it a home church. We used to meet not in a normal building, but our place of meeting was just a sitting room of the pastor. We were about 10 to 12 members. We didn't have a worship team. Everybody in the church was a potential preacher, a potential worshiper, a potential everything of the church. And when we meet on Sunday, we didn't have a plan for the next month. After the service, we just ask, who is preaching next Sunday? A brother will say, I. Who will worship me next Sunday? Another brother will say, me. And this is how we settled the church. And the church was a lively church. It was a church where people were happy, were glad to serve God. And now coming back to IBC. This is what I like in IBC. I don't know if you know that we are a special church. We are a very special church because there is room to serve God in this church. There is place for anyone who wants to serve God to step forward to serve God in this church. And this is what should be the most important for a believer. This is the reason I'm here in this church, because I can't imagine myself sitting in a church just consuming, not helping people. And this should be the attitude of every believer. The Bible says Jesus came not to be served. He came to serve, even though he would have been happy to receive worship or to be served. But he showed us, as example, that we should be servants of each other. So our church is not a mega big church where everything is organized, where it is almost impossible for a newcomer to find a place to serve someone. I remember that it is the Lord God that you are serving. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 says, whatever you do, work it out with all your heart, as if you were not serving humans, but it is God you are serving. So sometimes we complain, or we were praying that there are areas in our church that need workers. What seems to be a weakness can turn out to be a strength for our church, because it opens the door to all the believers to come and serve God. It makes us not only to be a consuming disciple, but to be someone who is working in the field of God. I remember before I preached here the first time, my heart is burning for the work of God to the point that I can just see something in the house of God not being done. I'm not doing that. And I remember before I preached here for the first time, I had that dream that I came to church on that Sunday, and I came with expectation. I came with hope to listen to the sermon that in that dream first. And when I came to church, I sat down. They made the announcement, and after the worship, somebody just stood up in the church. I think that was, I don't know the name of the brother, that's not important. The brother stood up and he said, "Well, church, you know what? This Sunday we don't have a preacher. There is no message to be preached. So after the worship song, please, we will go home." And in the dream, I was like, "What? What did you just say?" And I said, people were just standing over trying to go. And I was like, "No, please sit down." I just asked the brother, "Do you have a Bible somewhere? Do you have a mic?" I just took the mic and the Bible. I said, "Well, I'm going to preach. Please sit down. We will preach." When you come to the house of God, we are coming to serve, not to be served. We are coming to work for God. We are not just going to consume the grace of God. What do you need to be a worker in the field of God? This is most of the time the obstacle of people to serve God in our church. Ask yourself, what keeps you from serving God? What keeps you from putting your potential in the work of God? Maybe you will just try to make a list of your weaknesses. But the good news for you is that all the heroes of faith have weaknesses. Noah, it happened to Noah sometimes to be drunk, but it didn't keep God from using him to save humanity at that time. Gideon saw himself as a weak man. It came out that he was a soldier that stood up to save his people. Goliath was seeing in David just a little boy, but it was an instrument in the hands of God to deliver his people. Moses saw himself as somebody who was running away to go and hide. But from his place where he was hiding, God brought him out to bring out his people. I will continue the list with members of our church. Ruth might see herself as a mother, but God sees her as a worship leader. Or Frank might see himself just as a simple English teacher, but God sees him as a great preacher. Ben might see himself as somebody who is just doing the technique, but God sees him as somebody who will support others. Or Katie sees herself with, like just a mother helping out her family, but God sees her as somebody who is able to preach the good news. And I can continue this with all the names of the members of this church. Despite your weaknesses, God will use you to do the work in his house. When I pray for workers in the house of God, one of my favorite ways of praying is that our weaknesses are open windows for God to put his hand into our lives to do something. Our weakness should not keep us from serving God. Now, in conclusion, I'm going to conclude by mentioning the parable of the 10 talents. I'm not going to read the parable itself, but you know the parable. You know that God gave 10 gold, pieces of gold to one. He gave 5 to the other one. He gave 1 to one person. But in the end, it came out that those who had the talent, some people used what they had. But there was one person who went and hid what he had from God. And you remember the end of the story that God took out what he had. Now coming back to our sermon, what does it have to do with you, with us? God has blessed each of us with gifts, not for ourselves, but to use it for others. One of the best examples I have that when God blesses you with a gift, it is not for yourself. It is to serve the church. There was an old pastor who was so gifted by God that he had the gift of healing. He was so gifted that if he prayed for somebody, the person was healed. But do you know what? He himself was sick. To stand up and pray for the people, people have to help him. He would lay his hand on his people, pray for them, they were healed. But for himself to go back and sit down, he needs help from other people. So the gift that God has given you is not for yourself. It is to be used in his house. It is to be used for the glory of his name. So using one's God's given abilities and gifts wisely and productively to serve God is a very vital aspect of discipleship. It's very normal. This is what God expects from us. You remember when Moses had to build the temple, and when people were gathering the money, God told Moses, go to so and so. I have put my spirit in him to do this type of work. And there will be a time in this church or in serving God that the church will come to you, guided by God, by the Holy Spirit. God might say, go to Sherin. I have blessed her with this type of gift to do this work in church. Or go to all the members. The good news is that you are gifted. You just need to find out what your gift is and to use them to serve God. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But I will say, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are hiding. The workers are afraid. The workers are not using their gift to serve God. They are not few workers. They are few courageous disciples who will say, I would like to preach. Who will say, I would like to go out on a Saturday and preach the good news. Who will say, I would like to teach the children. Or who will say, I would like to lead a Bible study. I would like to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters. One of the main differences between us and God is that we have weaknesses. We do sin. If you look at the 12 apostles that God has chosen, none of them was perfect. And one thing that touches my heart is when I look at Peter that denied Jesus 3 times. And then in the end, when Jesus appeared to him and tells him, Peter, do you love me? Take care of my sheep. I don't know what is keeping you from serving God. Find out where your gifts are. You are one of the workers. Let's pray. Father, we pray for more workers in your field of work. Not only for more workers, but for your people to step forward to serve you. We pray that the Holy Spirit will touch hearts. To understand that we are not here to be served, but to serve God. And Father, bless this church, as this church is opening the door for every believer that is coming to serve you. And as we are going today, Lord, we don't want to push it to tomorrow. We want to start serving you today. And give us the strength, Holy Spirit, in your name. Amen. We have...